Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Great to see you. Tired? We'll get you untired today. So great to see you guys this morning. Want to welcome Barbara back this morning. She's feeling better, she says. So yay, Barbara. So glad you're back in the house. Amen. Glad to have Tony Cook. If you remember, we requested prayer for him, what, Wednesday night? He had a mild stroke. Here he is sitting here today. Praise the Lord for that. So good to have him. Want to recognize Tony. We've been praying for Tony's sisters. You know she did pass on, and service was yesterday, a beautiful tribute to her life. And Tony's with us again this morning. So, Tony, we've been praying for you and your family the last few weeks, and we're sorry and glad you're back with us. And I know it was a hard road the last few weeks. Well, good. Well, good. We're glad you're back, Tony.
That's where I got my prayers from.
That's exactly right. You sure?
Literally, Amanda posted something on Facebook. She gets prayers right away.
I know. Yep, God's got you too, Selena, don't he? He's got you.
I hope I get positive for that COVID test tomorrow.
I know. You're going to be all right, darling. Right, they have to test her before the procedure. Everybody's going. We're glad to have Mr. Rogers sitting here. Not the Mr. Rogers, but Mr. He doesn't have a sweater on this morning. But anyway, if you remember, we requested a prayer for Roger Wednesday. He had to go to the ER. Thought he might have had some heart issues. End up being a gallbladder. They removed it, sent him home the same day. Here he is this morning. So praise God for that as well. Praise the Lord. So we got some really good testimonies up here today, don't we? Some positive stuff happening. So we are so thankful. Nancy Rose was in a wreck yesterday, her and her friend Herman. And she's very sore, but she walked away just sore. So thank God for that as well. So God's mercy on that as well. So a lot of good stuff this morning. We need to hear good stuff, don't we? We hear enough bad stuff, right? Turn TV on, all you hear is bad stuff. So this is a place we hear good stuff. So God is good.
Good thing, Trump's
going to
get North Carolina.
He did get North Carolina, Selena. You're exactly right. He got North Carolina. Let me read some things to you might find interesting. This is the November, this is the wacky November 2020 calendar, just some wacky holidays. You know how you have those calendars that have the wacky stuff on it? So the 15th, which is today, Elvis Presley made his movie debut in 1956 on this day. Elvis Presley. now here, this excites me a little more. On the 21st of November, Tweety Bird made his debut 1942. I did see a putty cat. The 22nd of November, Toy Story was released, 1995. Can you believe that's been, what is that, 25 years? 25 years. Gosh. Let's see here. The 27th of this month, the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was held, 1924. Any of you born 1924? Nobody? That'd make you like 96. All righty. The 28th of this month is French Toast Day. Amen. And on the 30th, Melly and my generation and Carol back here will appreciate this. On the 30th, Michael Jackson's Thriller was released in 1982. So anyway, just some wacky tacky stuff from November. Hey, a man went to a doctor. And he complained about his eyesight. He said, I can't see very well, Doc. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. He says, look out that window. Tell me what you can see. He says, all I can see is the sun. He goes, man, how much further you want to see? All righty. I mean, that's 93 million miles away, right? So, not the best of jokes. Okay, singers, come on up this morning. We're going to go into our worship. We're very excited y'all are here today. We're so thankful for all the praise reports we've got today. By the way, Mindy is feeling much better as well. I've been talking to her all week, and God has touched her body, and she feels much, much better. So that's also a praise report. So we're thankful for that. God has definitely done some great things this week in the lives of his people. And I'm thankful for who he is. I'm thankful we do have a God that hears our prayers and that cares about us and that loves us. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's stand our feet if you would, please. Father, as we enter this service, we ask your presence to be in this place. We ask you fill this place with all your glory and with all of who you are. We give you praise for the healings, the touches you have done this week among your people. We thank you you're still King and Lord no matter what we see, no matter what we face. You're always King, and that doesn't change. We pray you fill your people today with what we need to hear as we talk about your invited and how you have called us to this great table called your mercy of salvation, and that as we will heed the call, our lives will be changed. We give you glory, honor, and praise always for being Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Y'all sing along this morning in worship.
Really think about that. You know, if you know somebody, if you know somebody just mediocre, like you just happen to pass them on the street and you'll say, hey, yeah, I know him. Or like, you know, I've told people, yeah, our church is across the street from Ron Newman. Have I ever met Ron Newman? No. Have I seen him out in his yard? Yeah. Does he know I exist? No. But, you know, it's a landmark, one thing, but it's like, yeah, our church is right across the street. And then we had that wreck and he survived, and it was unbelievable. What a great testimony. I'm like, yes, he's in our neighborhood. But I don't know that man. Don't know him. He's not my friend. He does not call me friend. But you can if you're watching, Ron. Hey. However, come on across the street. 10 o'clock. But, you know, sometimes we do that if we know somebody, or, hey, yeah, I live next door to the mayor or something. Whoop-de-doo, right? Whoop-de-daggum-doo. All I can say, Jesus is your friend. He calls you friend. Tammy, he says, you know what, Tammy, you're my friend. I want you to really think about that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of all Saviors. One knee, every single knee is going to bow to that name, and he calls you friend. So when you really think about that today, when you get low or, oh, I don't have friends or nobody loves me, and you get in that self-pity, do you know the King of Kings loves you? He is your very best friend. You can't go wrong with him. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Sometimes we get caught up on our friends on earth that really aren't there, but just for a moment. Most times, just for seasons. But Jesus is there for every season. Ecclesiastes, James. All right. Blood will never lose its power. Sing loud, James.
Yes. Amen. It never runs out, church. It covers everything you'd ever face. Hallelujah. Precious, that's what it's all about, right? Without the blood of Jesus, nothing else will matter. The blood of Jesus finished the deal. You are covered and smothered better than Waffle House hash browns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all can be seated for a minute this morning. Dee, come on up here. She's going to bless you with this beautiful song. He will carry you. And as you can see, we have a beautiful table set here. And now my whole message is themed around you're invited. And I got this as a symbolism of a visual contact of what Jesus has prepared for you. And you are invited to receive this blood he shed for you. And this song D sings is a beautiful song about when you can't do it yourself, he will carry you. Let God carry you. The Bible says, cast all your burden upon him because he careth for you. He wants to carry your burden. He wants to carry your pain. He wants you to give it over to him. But we hang on to it way too long. We try to carry it ourselves, not realizing that the blood has the power to wash it all away and to cleanse us from all of our sins and to restore us back in a right relationship with God. And the thing about the blood of Jesus, Angela just said, it goes from generation to generation. See, we say times have changed, and they have. They've changed a lot from the days of Jesus. But the one thing that's not changed is the everlasting covenant and the redemptive power and the redemptive work and the justification through the blood of Jesus. That's gone from generation to generation. See, there's not been another offering of that. There's not been another death or resurrection. There's not been another thing to come along. The one cross, the one shedding of blood, the one moment at Calvary changed every generation from that point to eternity. There's nothing else needed. It is finished. It's complete. And for every person that calls upon his name, they shall receive this beautiful gift of grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. So receive that today. She sings this song. It's a beautiful song. He will carry you. Word this morning. We'll go ahead and get the kids dismissed. I want to play the song here in just a minute, but I want to set it up a little bit. You've heard this song. We played it here before. It's called Come to the Table. We live our whole lives struggling. We live our whole lives trying to fix our problems. We fail to see the beautiful revelation that Jesus has prepared for us all we need. You know, whenever someone invites me to dinner, I don't take anything. Right? Hey, come to dinner. When you invite to come to dinner, don't just show up at 6 o'clock. We got everything. Don't worry about it. Y'all just show up. Melanie's not preparing stuff to take with her. She's not cooking anything. Okay, do we have this? Do we have this? We're not stressing. All we got to worry about is what time to be there. And we walk in that door, and everything is prepared. I don't have to worry about, oh, I hope they got ice. I hope they got my sweet tea. I hope they made some dessert. They better have bread up in here. You know, I hope they got this, and I hope they got that, and you know, I hope they got the heat turned on in the house, or I hope they got the air turned off at summertime, or hope they're home. I hope they put the dog up, the cat up. Everything is ready. All me and Melanie do is go up, ding dong, and we walk in, and we sit down, and you know what? All right, and most time, we don't even serve ourselves, right? They bring it to you. So you're sitting here, and they bring your plate to you. Do you want more? Like my grandma. My grandma's a prime example. Anytime you go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving or Christmas, she's the last one to ever sit down. Even at her age, she won't sit down. I got more ice over here. I got more cups over here. Y'all, banana pudding. I just put the banana pudding on the table. Banana pudding back here. Okay, Grandma, we got it. We see it. I got some cookies. Now, Jamie, did you try some? Now, Barbara brought this, and Loretta brought this. She's all walking around, all right, being the host. When I go to Grandma's house, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I show up. I get my plate. Everything is there, man. We're just there to eat until we can't eat no more. Eat until we go into a sugar coma, right? It's prepared. It's prepared. If any of you go to lunch at a church today, say you go to Logan's, you're not going to go back there in the kitchen. All you do is get your little buzzer to get your name on the list, and you sit down, and they come to your table. Drink order. What kind of dressing you want for your salad? What's your meal? They write it all down. You just sit there. You're talking, you know, and you're communicating, and you're whatever you're doing, and they bring your food right to you. And then after they bring the food to you, they bring refills. Right? And if you're like me, they bring more rolls. And then they do something else beautiful. They come and they actually clean up and take all your junk out of the way. You don't have to do nothing except pay the price. The good news with this banquet is the price has even been paid too. You don't owe anything. This song talks about whatever situation you're in, just come to him. I get so tired of hearing religious folks try to clean you up before you come to Christ. You can't do it. You can't make yourself ready enough. Yeah, it's going out. Let me take this off.
Turn it. Make sure my big box is on. The one under.
Check one. There we go. Thank you. You cannot prepare yourself enough to appear righteous before God. You come to Him as you are in faith, receiving what He has done for you, and then I promise He'll take care of the rest. Because see, on this plate, Nancy Rose may need forgiveness. So there it is. On this plate, David may need some hope because he's very discouraged. There's his plate. Bill may need some peace because he's been rattled for a while. There's peace. Jeremy may need some strength. He's just tired, man. God, I need some strength. I'm tired. There it is. There's nothing at God's table that is not available for what you need. Nothing. The menu is unlimited. It's not a limited selected menu. It's whatever you need. That's why the great I am is the great I am. I am whatever you need me to be. Because the great I am, Gordon needs something different than the great I am, than what Bill needs, than what Jeremy needs, than what Nick needs, than what my mom and dad need, than what I need. He's the great I am, and he knows what we need. See, Roger needed a gallbladder surgery the other night, right? Tony needed some stroke recovery the other night. This Tony needs healing for pain and grief of a loss. Each thing is different in our lives, and God answered each of those prayers and is answering each of those prayers because these plates are filled with whatever you could possibly ever desire or ever need. You're not going to say, God, I need this, and He's going to say, we ran out, or we took it off the menu, or we don't offer that anymore, because what God offered one time remains steadfast forevermore. He is the God of peace forever, joy forever, forgiveness forever, mercy forever, strength forever, wisdom forever, salvation forever. That's my God. So however you are, you can come to His table and you can leave satisfied. You can leave filled. We're trying to break our chains through our own means and our own efforts, and that's why they're never broken. We're trying to break our addictions. We're trying to break our strongholds. We're trying to break the things in our lives, and we can never break them because we're doing it in our own strength instead of coming and receiving what God has for us. See, there's a healing that takes place when we let God do it. I talked to someone the other day who has been smoking 2-pack cigarettes a day for years, and they told me, says, I went to God. This was at a cemetery service I was doing. They said they went to God, and they said, Lord, I try to stop, and I can't, so I'm giving it to you. I need help. They quit cold turkey and have been quit for 10 years completely because they let God take it instead of them trying to do it themselves. I can't do it, God, but you can. He's going to play this song, and I want you to hear the message of this song. And the beautiful thing about Jesus didn't come to the people that just looked like Donna in her nice black dress and skirt and her Sunday makeup and her Sunday smile, right? He came to the ones that were pretty rotten and ugly and dirty, who had a past, who wasn't living a good lifestyle, but yet He came to them offering them this banquet. And the story we're going to read today talks about the banquet that God prepared for us. Play the song, Brandon. Listen to the words of the song.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give over the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come join the sinners who have been come to the table. To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who love and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow.
Song, huh? So much truth in those words to that song. This table is prepared and waiting on you. Before you leave this morning, you're going to have the opportunity to come sit at this table this morning and receive what you need from God, whatever that is. Because what he has for you. And just for you. We serve a very individualized Savior. He's not a broad Savior to where it's a group thing. It's an individual moment of meeting our need, wherever we are at. To the liar and to the thief, how many of us snub those who don't look like us or act like us? We snub those who have this lifestyle or have this lifestyle, not realizing and recognizing, but by the grace of God. Church, but by the grace of God, any of us could be in a place of such depth of darkness. But for the grace of God, we could be on this road of torment and pain. But God's grace found you, and God's grace rescued you, and God's grace helped you and kept you from going through that journey and through that road. Let's read some scripture this morning about a banquet, an invitation, in Luke chapter 14. This is a parable that Jesus uses to teach us a moment here. In Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. Then said he also that bade him, or bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest they also invite you again, and recompense to be made there. Jesus is saying, don't just invite into your life the ones that look like you, the ones that act like you, the ones that can do something for you as well. Invite those who have nothing to give you. That's true love. When you offer yourself to someone expecting nothing in return, that's where the true blessing comes. This is exactly what Jesus did, right? He came to those
who were not qualified in the religious Pharisee or Judaism eyes of being worthy to be invited to dinner. In fact, they made fun of Jesus many times and accused him, saying, "Look at him, he eats with sinners. Look who's he, I can't believe he's invited those people there." In this time period, if you were sick, if you were lame, if you were blind, if you had physical defects, did you realize you were not allowed to come into the temple to worship? Think about that. You weren't allowed because you were considered unclean, unworthy. They were kept outside the temple. And Jesus is saying, don't invite the ones that can see and that can walk and that have no physical problems, but invite those who are downtrodden. Invite those who have no value to give anything back into your life. Invite those into your circle. That's the ones that need help. How many folks have religion but don't really need Jesus? They don't need Jesus. They've got religion. They hide behind their religion. They hide behind their denomination. They hide behind the where they go to church. They hide behind that, but don't really want Jesus. They have a form of power, right? But they deny the power thereof. They deny it to change their life. A church don't change your life. A denomination don't change your life. It is Jesus Christ, the risen Lamb of God, that changed your life. It's Jesus that changed you. It's Jesus that changed me. He is the center of attention. He's center stage. When thou makest a feast, Jesus says, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Oh, man. You know, even in the adult world, we have our cliques, don't we? We have terms that we use. Well, we have terms like this. In fun, we say this. In fact, I joke about with people around me about my wife all the time. I'm married above my pay grade. Right? We all know what that means. I'm married above my pay grade. It means Mel's a lot hotter than I am. I got lucky. So that's what that means. Does that explain it to you? And so I'm married above my pay grade, right? We say terms like that. We, you know, there's terms that we have used, like, I'm just going to be honest with you, right? Let's just be honest, because we're living word, we're real. We use terms like white trash, trailer trash, trailer park kids. Do what? Talk to your parents about these things. So we use terms like that to describe classes of people. And when it comes to different races, we use even worse terms of slang that are very demeaning to other races. And so we use these terms to classify people. Here is Jesus saying, when you invite people to your dinner table, don't invite the ones that you think are worthy and equal to you. Invite the ones that need to be fed. Invite the ones that nobody else wants. Invite the ones that are unworthy. Invite the ones that nobody else ever invites. Remember as a kid when you were playing pickup basketball at school or whatever, and you had captains, you pick your team, you all going to be picked to play, right? I'll take him. Next captain, I'll take him. And, of course, I was always toward the bottom. You know, I would never was the last one, I don't think, but I wasn't the first one. I would never was the first one. I'll take James. I never was the first one. Pick him. We want to be picked. Jesus came as an equal opportunity Savior. Truly. He does not look at us on the outside. He does not look at us of what we bring him. He looks to us of what he brought us. He brought us grace and mercy. We look at each other through very measured parameters, but Jesus looks at us as his children. The old song we used to sing, right? He loves the children of the world, black and white, da-da-da. He loves all the children of the world. I don't know any song, I know. But you get the gist of it. He loves all of us. Invite the lame, the blind, the maimed, all that. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense you. They can't pay you back. You see, it's really a wrong heart to invite someone you know is going to give you something back later. Reach out to someone who can give you nothing back. And watch what God does with that seed. Because that's a seed of love. That's a true seed of love when you know they can't pay you back for what you've given them. Verse 15, when one of them that sat at meat heard these things, he said, blessed is he that shall eat bread. Service. Okay. We are good and we are charged. Let me get my glasses so I can see.
Don't you dare forget about your glasses.
Thank you, Slim. Then he said unto him, here's the parable Jesus begins. A certain man made a great supper and he invited, or bade, which means invited, many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Isn't that good news? All things, church, to you are now ready. There's nothing you have to bring to the table of Jesus except yourself. You don't have to bribe God with a banana pudding. Isn't that good news? You don't have to bribe God with your money and your offerings. You don't have to bribe God with all your religious works. You simply come to the table. Everything is already prepared, and he has waiting on you. Everything and anything you could ever need is on this table. I promise you. All is ready. And when they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I pray that you will excuse me. Another says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, to test them. I pray that you excuse me. Another says, I have married a wife, bless his heart, and therefore I cannot come because my wife said I couldn't come. So here are three examples, right, of people that made excuses of why they couldn't accept this invitation. There was something more important to do than to hear what God had to say. There is something more important to do than receive what's been prepared and what's waiting on me. My wife, my oxen, and my land is more important than this table that God's prepared for me. In our life, how many excuses do we make for not coming to the table? But James, I'm a drug addict. I can't come till I'm clean. You can't get clean till you come. Hallelujah! Did you hear that? You can't come and you can't get clean till you come. Well, I would, but you know, I got my doubts, and you're here. So no matter what your doubts are, you're here. Step through your doubts by faith and accept and receive by faith what Christ has done, and watch your doubts disappear and faith take hold and faith take over. We make all these excuses of why I can't serve God. Why, you know, I hear excuses all the time. I talked to a guy today who's been out of church for years. He's a preacher's kid. He said, I was drugged to church. I was in church my whole life. And I just got burned out. He's in his, like 40 years old and don't go to church. You know, and I'm sitting there saying, you want some wine with that cheese? Bless your heart. You got drugged to church your whole life. Bless your little heart. Look, I understand being preacher's kids is a difficult task. I've had 3. And I know it's challenging. I get that. But when your heart's into God and not into the church, then your life won't be affected by that. When your heart's into God. See, I got 3 kids. Y'all know the story. And my son right now is not a regular churchgoer. But I have 2 daughters who very much are, who very much love God. And they had a hard life. And they was over here all the time. And I get that. I understand that. But you know what? That's just an excuse not to receive what God has for you. That's an excuse. You can use the same excuse of saying this. Well, I never was taken to church, so I don't know. Well, that's an excuse too, right? We can find any excuse we want to. It's like when we think that we're a little overweight, but look in the mirror and says, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as him. Okay, you're making an excuse. Stay fat. That's fine. But it's an excuse, right? It's an excuse. We can make excuses all that we want, but it doesn't discount what God has already prepared. You know what make excuses does? It costs us the blessing. It costs us receiving what God has. God ain't going to drag you to the table like, you know, one of them old-timey mamas grab you by the ear in a rolling pin. Boy, I said, boy, you're going to come. God don't do that. God invites. But she's not God. And you can RSVP God either way. Yes or no? Three examples of why people do not come to this dinner. They make excuses. I've got stuff to do. I got other things more important, God, than this. Verse 21. So the servant came, and he showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Hallelujah. Two revelations here, right? God says, just go invite the ones that you wouldn't normally invite, the ones that are unworthy, the ones that nobody else wants. Invite them because they're just as important to me, and they have the same opportunity to receive the blessing as the religious, sanctified, justified saints of God. They have the exact same opportunity. You know, we've been at this church for 18 years now. And two or three times a week through the years that we've been here to minister and preach, everyone that's come in these doors have had the same opportunity to hear the word and to do something with it. Some choose to live their lives for God, and some have been here for years and don't seem to hear a word that have been preached. And I can't control that. You either have a desire to be at the banquet table or you don't. You either got a desire to eat or you have a desire to eat something else. If this menu does not please you, then you will not receive the benefits of this menu. I don't know, Pastor. I know we had a lady years ago. I won't say it by name because some of y'all know who this is. Had a lady years ago who came to church when we first started in the fire department. And this person was very high maintenance. And what I mean by that, constantly calling me and my wife, constantly with problems, constantly wanting counseling, constantly going through issues, constantly wanting advice. And my wife finally one day just went Medea up on her and said, look, you are draining me. I'm going to church to feed myself. And if you want to be fed, you need to be at church just like I am and hear what God has to say and quit trying to pull all the strength out of me that I'm trying to keep myself afloat. And you know what? From that point on, there weren't no more phone calls. And I'm okay with that because Mel is exactly right. The banquet table is waiting on her, too. But there was always an excuse of why she couldn't be here to hear the word. Well, I'm this. Well, I had to work late. You know, we got people, Melanie back on the very back row, I don't know about last night, but a few weeks ago, she was here on a Sunday morning after working third shift on Saturday night. Third shift all night long and was in church on Sunday morning. So I don't care about your drunk hangover last night. If Millie can work up to 7 o'clock and be at church that morning, your drunk hangover can pass away and you come in. I don't care if you come in staggering a little bit. Just come in. Come to the table and get what God's got for you. He can sober you up in a moment. That Holy Ghost hits you. You ain't drunk on alcohol no more. You become drunk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Just come to the table and quit making excuses. So the fancy ones didn't want to come. So he goes and invites the trailer trash. Can I just say that in fun? He invites the trailer park kids. He invites the unclean lame ones. He invites the blind ones that couldn't even go in the temple and worship. They weren't even allowed in Sunday morning church or Saturday morning synagogue. They weren't allowed because of their conditions. And here he says, invite them. I've got something for them too. If the people that don't need me don't want it, the people that do need me will take it. And the Lord said, oh, and the second question, there's room. He comes back and says, Lord, I've invited all these guests. Say, you know, for an example, 100 people he invited. All right, 50 of them accepted. So he goes back and says, Lord, I got 50 of the rejects coming, and I still got room. The Bible says in John 14, Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. And we're not talking about Fresh Prince of Bel Air mansion. We're talking about a place for you to dwell in Christ. God does not run out of room in his kingdom. It does not get full. There's not a flashing motel light when your name is called and none is appearing before the pearly gates saying, full, 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 full. No more room for Melanie. She didn't die in time. She didn't quite get here. You know, my mom just beat her by 3 days. Hallelujah. Mom got the last spot. And that's not going to happen, Mom. I'm just saying it. Thank God there's always room at this table. And there's room for you no matter what you are carrying. I know there's room for the ones that are trying to live right, Pastor. And there's room for the ones that want to live right. But what if I'm as a leader in this dark, nasty, ugly, rebellious place? There's not a place for me there because of who I am and because of what I've done. God doesn't care for me. God doesn't want me at this banquet. God doesn't love me because I rebelled against him. That's the very reason he went to Calvary, was for you, the dark, the ugly, the rebellious. While you were yet a sinner, he died for the ungodly. This gift is a gift of grace. It's not of your works, lest any man boast. Yes, there's room for you at this table. There's room for you to lay down all your junk and eat a different menu than what you've been eating, because the menu you're on now is only leading to destruction. But this table gives you everlasting life. The Lord said to the servant, verse 23, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The invitation that God is sending out was not limited to a certain type of people. It was unlimited to whoever would come. Think about that. As people, we reject those who, and we all have, I don't care who you are here, we can all be honest about it. But we all see somebody walking in Walmart and we'll roll our eyes. Could you not get your pajamas off this morning and actually put some jeans on? You know, or, you know, we see those people that we, here's two things. The number one thing, we're thankful we're not them. Let's be honest. We look at their lives and we find ourselves being a little bit snobby because of how they appear. And I'm not saying people can't do better for themselves. Many can. But sometimes there's a reason. Do you know someone don't care about their self at all? They're not going to care about how they look or how they act. If they are so full of depression, they're so full of hopelessness, they're not going to care how they appear. They don't love themselves whatsoever. And so they project this image of that. And so we got to look deeper sometimes behind, why do they look that way? Why are they acting that way? Why? There's something going on deeper inside of them that they have no value in their own identity, in their own life. That takes spiritualism, not judging them. That takes a deeper moment of spiritualism to realize, okay, God, that's your child too. They don't look like me. It's not somebody I would probably associate with on a day-to-day basis. But God, they need you. Something I've always tried to do, I think I have as a pastor, is I truly have had, and I think Melanie will attest to this because she knows me more than anybody and what I've done outside the four walls, that I will talk and love everybody equally, no matter how they look or what they've done. You don't have to be in the James Lewis circle to be loved by me. You just have to come to me and let me know you need to be loved. And that love is there. I'm thankful that my life's not broken like so many lives are. And because my life's not broken, I think it's my responsibility, our responsibility as his children, to help fix the brokenness in other people's lives. Because they're broken. You know, where Tammy works, she sees a lot of broken lives. They don't talk to her about it, probably, but I'm sure she sees a lot of broken lives. I mean, she sees the main population of Statesville on a regular basis. As they walk in those doors and come through those registers, and she sees them, or she maybe feels something in their heart, or she feels their spirit, and she just sees the... Church, we're in a broken world. What we must understand is they need the same opportunity to eat from this plate as you do. Who are we to say, okay, you're invited? I mean, think about this. This morning we have an altar call, right? And five or six people walk up, and Nate's one of them. And I go to Nate, and I say, hey, Nate, you don't really belong up here. I need you to kind of sit down. I only got four places. You're the fifth, odd man out. And these are more worthy than you. So, you know, you got your old cowboy boots on today and your trucker shirt and your hair ain't combed. And I just need you to stay back there. Because Donna's much prettier in her black dress. So she gets up here. And who else is dressed up in here? Let's see. Who else looks nice? Really nobody. Yeah, Angela looks nice. And David back here. Now, David's got muscles. So we'll have David up here because, you know, he's some eye candy at the table. That's what we want. We want the eye candy people, right? We want the eye candy Christians, the eye candy saints of God. We want the sweet little Von Seals and her little walker, right? We want David and his buff muscles, right? We don't want the trucker. And I'm just playing. I'm just using it for example. You know that. we don't want the trucker. I'm making a revelation point here. We definitely want you and we love you. And how can you not want Roger up here? Look at that smile. Turn around and look at him. Look at that smile. Hey, no, Roger. His sweet little face. His little sweater. Just had gallbladder surgery. Just a little hurt. We want him up here, right? But we don't want certain people. Jesus, thank God, doesn't reject us because of how we come to him. He didn't say, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, except the ones I don't want, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say, all that call upon the name of the Lord, except the trailer trash, and you shall be saved. No. But we have that mentality in our lives sometimes, not realizing there are people all around us who are hurting and just want to be loved. Verse 24, we'll close out with this one. For I say unto you that none of those men which were invited shall taste of my supper. You know what God is saying? You don't want this? You don't get this. Right? You're missing out. I mean, think about this. I go to Gordon and say, Gordon, me and Melly, and we're not going to do this, just to let you know. No offense. Me and Melly is going to take you out today for lunch, and we're going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse down in Charlotte. Not in Charlotte, not really a good one, no. We're going to go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and you can get anything you want. It's all on me, except no alcohol. Everything else you can get. You can get the biggest steak. You can get whatever size you want. Everything's covered, the price, the tip. We will take you in our car, no gas needed. We're providing everything, transportation and meal. All you got to do is come. And Gordon says, Pastor, I would, but I got an ox in the ditch that I ain't proved yet. And I got to go home and prove that ox. Okay? So I invite the trucker. Nate, you want me to do, Chris? Well, I ain't here. That's okay. Don't come like you are. Because you're with me. You're with the king, and you've been accepted by me. And so Gordon misses out on the Ruth Chris steak and baked potato and salad and that. Those all gratin potatoes. Misses out because he's over, he says, proving his ox. And here's Nate going to town. And then Gordon sees a picture on Facebook of me, Nate, Melly, Ruth Chris, and he makes a comment, must be nice. And I'll put back, you had your chance, buttercup. Suck it up. Nate got to enjoy what Gordon rejected. See, we offer this beautiful grace to you through Christ. You don't have to come. But you're sure not going to walk in what God has for you if you don't receive it. So when you say, I'm just so tired of being depressed, come to the table and eat what you need and let him lift that depression off of you. I'm tired of being broken all the time. Then come to the table and let God fix your brokenness. We can't make excuses why we don't come. We just need to come as we are in this moment, right now, letting God give each of you what each of you need today. And when you leave this banquet table, you will be completely fulfilled and you will be satisfied. Because he said in his word in John, those who hunger and thirst after me shall be filled. You will be filled. Doesn't mean all the things automatically maybe change your life. You don't still have things you fight. But at least you know you've got a place in the presence of God to find what you need every single day. Every single moment. In the middle of the night, this banquet table is prepared for you. In the middle of the day, it's prepared for you. On your job, it's available. In your car, it's available. This is something that's always available to you if you receive what God has for you. We're going to give you a chance this morning to come up here, stand up here across the front. If you need something from God this morning, if you need to receive something from him, we want you to come up and stand across here, near, you know, both sides, whatever, around the table. We're going to play that song again, Come to the Table. I want to play it real low, Brandon. Just kind of turn it down real low. And we're going to play it again in a minute. As this song's being played, if this is you, look, let me tell you, I understand, church, because I'm human too, and I so get this. I know that all of us struggle in our lives with things. We're not perfect. Don't let anybody tell you that you should be perfect following God. You'll never be perfect. You're going to always have faults and failures. You're always going to have things to fight in your flesh. You're always going to have warfare going on because we live in a very broken, fallen generation. But what does happen? You got to press through your sins. You got to press through your weaknesses. You got to press through your brokenness and say, okay, God, I have nothing else to lean on, nothing else to come to. Nothing else is making a difference in my life. So, God, I'm coming to your table that you invited me to, because salvation is for all men, not just some men. It's for all people, not just some people. If you need something from God, whatever stage you're in your life, from young to old this morning, because, see, all of us are in different seasons. We have Brooks and David who are just, you know, 12-year-old kids. Then we have people here in their 70s and 80s. We have people all in the middle between that. And each one of us are in a different place in our lives. And each of us need something different on our plate. And God gives you what you need, the desire of your heart. So I want to open this up this morning. Let's pray first. God, as we play this song again, as we open this altar up, God, for your presence, I pray you speak to hearts. And you let them obey what you're calling them to do. Because, God, you're not going to make or force anything, but they are missing out on so much by not coming to this table. God, they're missing out on the blessings you have waiting on them. They're missing out on all the things that you have prepared for them. They're missing out on all the things, God, that you've already done for them because they simply won't come. Lord, I pray you speak to their hearts this morning and you draw them with your mercy and your grace, realizing God, they don't have to be perfect to come sit this table. They don't have to be all cleaned up and groomed and have the right clothes on. They just simply come, Lord. They just simply come exactly as they are and let you feel their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Play the song, Brandon. If that is you this morning, I'm just going to stand up here and we're going to pray together before y'all leave the altar. Just stay up here. We'll pray together before we leave. Go ahead and play it, Brandon.